So I want to talk to you about how to break the chains that bind. And there are two things I want to say in advance. Number one, this will be a simple message. How do you judge a simple message or a profound message? You see, it's my conviction that the most profound messages are conveying the most practical, simple principles and biblical truths. So those that try to be profound just to sound smart, okay. And then those messages that are labeled simple, they're not shallow. They are conveying the most profound truths that result in transformation in our lives. So that's number one. I want you to get that because this is going to be a simple message. And anyone who comes to me and say, wow, that was simple. I want you already to be experiencing the profundity of the simple biblical truths. They swell in you. Now, if you just want to step simple, 1, 2, 3, okay, that's where you are. But then number two, I want you to understand deeply that your lives cannot be fully the fulfillment of God's mission for you without the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you can't understand what I say, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you read the Bible, well, if you don't read the Bible, you should. If you think it's too complicated, you need the Holy Spirit. Every time I sit with the Word of God, I disassociate myself and say, Lord, by your Spirit, open my eyes and teach me. We need the Holy Spirit because, I'm saying this because, I'm going to give you 4 practical steps this morning. That's our part. I can give you steps all day long from the Scripture, what to do to cooperate with God's wonderful plan. I can do that. They're necessary. They're important. We can step all day long, but unless we're depending on the Holy Spirit to make our steps supernaturally activated to fulfill God's plan, we've missed it. So it's not all what we do and all we decide to do and all we're going to suck it up and we're going to take ourselves by the nape of the neck and set some goals and discipline ourselves and we're going to finally get it right. You'll fail. Sorry. But with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter where you are, the deepest dungeon, the darkest valley, the deepest emotional pain, sickness, trauma, whatever it is, however impossible it seems in the natural, there's a way out. But it involves you and God by His Spirit. You, those steps you take, how you take them, depending on the God who's looking at your heart. So you see, it all fits together. It all fits together. So I want you to hear with that in mind. I will not keep you long. I just want to give you these very practical steps. When we talk about freedom, freedom involves every area of your life. Think about this. It's not just getting out of prison. It's not just being delivered from a drug addiction. It's not just getting out of a sour marriage, an abusive marriage. It's not just getting out of financial straits. It's more than that. Yes, it applies to our finances, our physical bodies, our habits. It involves our relationships. It involves our boredom, our depression. What are the thoughts that hover in our minds that produce emotions of depression? See, freedom, freedom, freedom. We've talked about that. Sounds like I said this from this platform. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard anything like that before? Yeah. Could it be that we're not yet fully understanding what freedom means and how to have it and apply it in every area? I tell you today, everything about your life is spiritual. Every decision you make is a spiritual decision. It's rooted in what you think of God. It's rooted in what you think of yourself. It's rooted in what you think of your potential and your future, your capacity, I'll say to you, going back to school, your intellect, your capacity to say every decision you make is based on something spiritual that's rooted in these fundamental things that we have to discuss. Spiritual truths apply to every area. So we do not separate the physical from the spiritual in this regard. Yes, we are physical. We are spiritual. But when I say we don't separate them, we view everything through spiritual eyes. And when you look at through spiritual eyes, you are endeavoring to look through God's eyes. And the only way to try to look through God's eyes is to listen to Him talk to you. I would like, if I were really cranky this morning, I'd give you all a piece of paper, and I would tell you, write down, how many minutes do you spend every day letting God talk to you? Don't tell me you don't know how to live if you never let Him talk to you and tell you how to live. Don't tell me you don't know how to be healed if you never let Him talk to you about His healing provision. Don't tell me your situation's hopeless if you've never looked at His promises of solution. Do you understand? So this is, I'm talking to you. Most of you have made a decision to serve the Lord Jesus, be His follower. That means right away the Word of God becomes our authority. Not what I preach, not what pastor preaches. We go to the Word of God. Now, I love what my mother used to say. She used to say, we're not stupid and we're not illiterate. We can read and we have Bibles. We're living in a country, I would be embarrassed to even count how many Bibles I have. I've got my whole supply at home and my whole supply at the office and my whole supply on my phone. Do you understand? Yeah. There is no excuse. So I'm lifting you from the practical, physical steps we take to see them through the bigger lens of God's plan and His miracle provision and His presence in your life by His Holy Spirit. So let's talk about this. Turn with me, to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And I'm going to read. It's in the YouVersion Bible. You can read right along if you want to. This is a very familiar story. And I'm not complicating it. I'm breaking it down to you in a way that you can see the profound applications in your life. So let's begin reading. Then they came to Jericho. This is Jesus and His disciples. And as He, Jesus, went out of Jericho with His disciples, and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. They called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, meaning teacher, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Isn't that beautiful? Sometimes we overlook these profound miracle encounters that Jesus had with people in deference to some complicated teaching. But I want to show you four things that we learn from this particular passage. There's much more. I have an 8-point sermon from this, but I wouldn't bore you with that this morning. Are you ready? Number one. See your circumstances. See your circumstances. And we take this from verse 14. It says, Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside begging. Do you know how many people remain in chains, all types of chains, because they don't admit what condition they're in? They don't see where they are. They've decided it's normal. They look around and criticize everyone who's not in their situation. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not about other people. It's about you. And the day you recognize your situation, if you're having financial problem, look at you first. If you're having emotional problems, look at you. Don't blame others. I've learned this lesson the hard way. But it works when you finally stop blaming circumstances and you blame everybody else who's been part of your heart betrayal and your pain and the devastation of your life. And you finally say, wait a minute, what did I do to participate in this? We have to see our circumstances. Now, do you know, you can take that as profound as you want to. Do you know the first step to salvation is recognizing you're a sinner? The principle applies. Recognizing that Jesus is the one and only Savior, the principle applies. So this is what I'm saying to you. Bartimaeus recognized his condition. He had spent his life, we don't know how long. If he was born blind, he was by the road his whole life. All he heard, his whole life was about what he heard, what he felt, what was said to him. He couldn't see anything, but he heard people walking by. He heard their chatter. I doubt if they stopped to converse with him. He heard the world was passing him by. All he got was the dust from their feet as the world passed him by, and he was sitting there. He was glued. He could go nowhere because he could not see. This is not a sermon about vision, but if you hear me, if you hear the scripture, you put yourself in the story, you begin to see the profound things that were taught from a simple encounter that Jesus had because a blind man recognized his problem. And so we see from this. You remember the prodigal son? We sang about that this morning. The prodigal chaser. In the prodigal story in Luke chapter 15, you know the whole story. I'm not going to take time. If you don't know it, read it. Luke 15. Always go to the scripture. You don't have to believe what I'm saying. Go check it out. And the turning point in the prodigal's life was, the scripture says, and he came to himself. I love that. We need to come to ourselves. And he recognized that where he was a far cry from where his father had a place for him. Now, there's so much. Oh, the scripture is so rich. If you just give God a minute, just give him a minute. Open one of the Gospels. Let him talk to you. See Jesus. See the heart of God. And you will learn. Your eyes will be open. So, number one, you want to say it with me? See your circumstances. Very good. And what's the title? Break the chains of that mind. Let's keep these points connected to what our objective is. So we have to recognize that we've got some chains. They could be in any number of areas of our lives. Nice Christian people have chains. Do you understand? Number two. Want things to change. Want things to change. This is a discontent that rises within when you look around and you see your condition in one area of your life or another, and you're not content to live there the rest of your life. You want change. You may not know how to get it, but this is a step. You want change. You want change. I deal with too many people that are content in their problems. Listen to me. They just would rather talk about their problems. than just stop a minute and listen for a solution. We have to want change. As long as we just want drama to pass on to others, whether it's under the guise of a prayer request or something else, we just like to talk about our problems. I'm telling you, that's not the same as wanting change. Wanting change is something that happens on the inside and it makes you mad. And it says, I'm not going to live like this. I know there's help for me. And I refuse to live sitting by the road of life, begging others for what I don't have. Can you hear me? It's so simple, and yet it's so profound, and it's very personal. But I remind you, these steps are not possible without reliance on the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, help me to see my condition. Open my eyes to see where I am. To me, I'm just my normal life. I was raised this way. This is the way my parents were. It all seems normal. Open my eyes. And then give me a desire for change. You see, if you don't involve God with you, it's just human effort. And I'm telling you, it's like every New Year's resolution. It just doesn't work. It's become a joke, hasn't it? We all have our list of resolutions. We pull this from verse 47, when the man began to cry out. He began to cry out. Can you picture that? Noise going along down the road and a beggar here. And all of a sudden, there's a cry. That wasn't a whisper. He didn't pass a note and say, hand this to Jesus. No, he cried out. He cried out so much that he made a disturbance. I love that. When I stand before a multitude of people, I help them to cry out to the Lord. There's nothing more beautiful than to hear a mass of people who've never known there was a God who hears and answers. And we help them to believe that if they cry out, God will hear and answer them. You see, crying out represents a desperation, don't you think? Mm-hmm. When we just have to cry out. How often do you cry out in your prayers? How often do you cry out asking for God to show you, to guide you, to use you, to give you fruit, to give you souls, to give you miracles? Do you cry out? Do you care? And how often is that cry for others rather than your own need? You see, these are things we ask ourselves. He cried out. He cried out. And so this is such an important space. When you cry out, when you want things to change. Psalm 34:6, Pastor Shai quotes this often. This poor man, this is David, this poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him from all of his troubles. Hallelujah. There was I'll give you one story. I'm watching the time, don't worry. Not that you looked worried. There's a wonderful story that happened during my parents' crusade in Lomé, Togo. This probably was in the 70s, but it's been such a dramatic story, I've never forgotten it. There was a boy in one of the villages, probably 100 kilometers from, that'd be about 80 miles, from Lomé. And he's down off the road, down the path. Finally, you get to this boy's village. And he was desperately ill. We would think it was like a tuberculosis. He was losing weight. He was vomiting blood. He was just dying. And somehow by a miracle, now something happened. We don't encourage this. But in this case, it happened. Someone decided to fly over this area and throw flyers for the crusade out of the airplane. Now, we don't encourage that. We like hand to hand, eye to eye. Come, you're welcome, bring the sick. That's what we like. But anyway, one of these floated down into this village. And the father of this boy picked it up, and he saw that you could bring the sick, and people were being healed, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this flyer saying, teaching Bible faith, how to receive from God. So he decided his boy needed to get to that event in Lomé. The problem was he didn't have any money, and it's a long ways away. So he sold a pig, And he took the proceeds from that pig and he carried his boy up to the edge of the road and stopped a lorry driver. This is a bus that transports anything and everything, including people and chickens and other things. And he persuaded the driver to take his boy to Lome. Now, the driver saw the condition of the boy. He didn't want, you know what it's like if someone dies in your custody. Oh, you run for your life. So the driver was very hesitant. Finally, the father persuaded him, paid him the money to take the boy to Lome. And the driver said, but this is only enough for one way. And the father said, that's okay, he'll be healed, and then he'll walk home. You don't think that's funny? That's faith. That's faith. That's expecting something to change. That's done with the way things are. I'm ready for change. Do you hear? Now, this segues me into number three. You have to look for solution in the right place. Look for solution in the right place. That father was looking to whatever was going on where Jesus was named and could heal. He didn't know how. He didn't know a scripture. He never heard a sermon, never knew about the cross or the stripes or the blood of Jesus. Faith came. I can't explain. Did I mention the Holy Spirit has to be involved in these things? Did I mention that? You see, when we are making these decisions, the Holy Spirit sees our heart and he works with us to cause our efforts to be profitable, to be fruitful, to produce results. So we look for solution in the right place, and we bring this from verse 47. When the man cried out, Jesus, that's the prayer. Tommy, that was your prayer. Jesus, okay. Two-word prayer. That's pretty simple. That's the way this man cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I'm telling you, there's so much in this story. I'm pulling from it simple steps that bring solution if you involve the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. He is our helper. We can have good intentions. We can make good choices, but we need him to help us. Self-reliance is never acceptable. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve decided they could do better making their own decisions rather than to be God's servants. No, and that's what began the downhill slide of sin and corruption and devastation in all of humanity. Self-reliance. We can never rely on ourselves. And this is a challenge. We're living in a sophisticated culture, an intellectual culture. We're living in a culture of technology. If everything's easy. Write this for me, correct this for me, check my grammar. We don't have to do a thing. We're living in a culture. Self-reliance. I've learned a new technology. I can do this. You wouldn't believe what I've heard this last week, people bragging to me about what they let AI do for them. It's not bad. But where is your focus? Where do you look for solution? Just like God can use doctors and lawyers, just as God can use medical people. I said that already. He can use technology. The difference is, where are we putting our confidence? That makes the difference. If it's self-reliance, ooh, look how smart I am. Look what I can do. And you get puffed up, puffed up, puffed up. There's no room for God. When there's no room for God, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. What are you going to do when China comes and knocks down all the networking grid and we're left with no lights and no internet? No, that's not prophetic. I'm just saying. What do you do when all the things you depend on are gone? Nothing should change for us. We already have a source. We have one in whom we put all of our reliance. We trust Him. He's the Lord. He guides His people. He feeds His people. He protects His people. He talks to His people. I could take you through the whole Old Testament and give you the stories. But what about the New Testament? What about now when the presence is in us? And we are connected. We are connected. We have that voice. We have that presence. You know, I've grown to the place. I remember when it happened. It was about 8 years ago. I became aware that every question in my mind that I would submit to the Lord, I had an answer just like that. That's not to brag. That you practice hearing the voice of God. I remember talking to a missionary family once, and they were having great difficulty doing this, doing that, hopping around, going from here to there, never quite sure, but they're just making the best decisions they can. And I was telling a story about listening to the voice of God, and I was giving some illustration. And they looked at me with such sincerity and said, "How do you hear the voice of God?" These are people who had been on the mission field for years. So it's not wrong for me to suggest to you that there is our helper, the one who is a voice, the one who is a presence, the one who has solution, the one who is not silent, He speaks, the one who is always with us, the one who is holding our hand, He's going before us, He's coming behind us, He's on our side, He is always with us. Never ignore the presence of the Holy Spirit. Pastor's in a series right now on the aspects of the Holy Spirit, not only His presence, His gifts, His callings, the fruit of His Spirit, all of that. And as she teaches, I'm amazed just hearing her, amazed at how complicated we've made everything. We've invented topics and definitions instead of receiving the presence, the person. No, as she teaches, making it so she has to go over and over, and we discuss it. Well, I mean, we go back and forth, and people's eyes are bugging out. Their jaws are dropping. They don't know what in the world we're talking about. But you see, it's so simple. It's so simple. I'm telling you, you don't have to go to Holy Spirit school to learn that Jesus is with you and He's got everything. Whatever you need, He's got it. Learn to just include Him and listen. And don't ignore what He's already said. Okay. Let's move on. Let me mention this. I won't ask for a show of hands, but several of you have either been in a 12-step program, or you've led the 12-step program, or you've investigated the 12-step program. It's a wonderful program designed for addicts. And you know, the principles or the steps are real biblically based. And the only thing that I dislike about the program, it never lets you move beyond your title. I'm a this or I'm a that. I'm redeemed. That's my only title. I'm redeemed. I'm transformed. I'm whole. I'm a carrier of the life of God. Hallelujah. But these first two steps, listen to this. Number one, I admit that I'm powerless over, and you fill in the blank. Isn't that great? Again, we see our condition. We recognize where we are. We're sitting by the roadside. We're begging. We recognize it. So important. And number two, I have come to believe that a power greater than me can restore me. Isn't that wonderful? Look for a solution in the right place. For us, that solution will always be Jesus Christ, Him crucified and resurrected. He has everything. He's faced even death. We haven't faced death yet. He's already even conquered that. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, step number four. How am I doing? Never give up. Never give up. That's what we call faith. You have faith. See, I'm avoiding that because it sounds so spiritual. I want you to apply the practical to the spiritual. Faith is simply believing something. So faith isn't always in God. You can have faith in a bad economy. You can have faith in a political system. You can have faith in your doctrinal conclusions. You can have faith in a lot of things. But you see, when you have faith in God, because of what His Word has taught you, and you've come to understand it through the Holy Spirit, who's declared our teacher. We don't have to be ignorant. So that faith is something that's powerful in you. When you say, I love the song we sang, I believe in God the Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Well, I believe. These are choices we make. I believe. You can't talk me out of what I believe. I don't know everything. I'm still learning. But everything that I have already believed, I believe. Hallelujah. 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 Never give up. Now, we're pulling this just from verse 48. When those around Bartimaeus tried to silence him, they warned him to be quiet, but he cried all the more. What caused him to cry all the more? He had heard something about this Jesus who was walking by. And he was not going to miss his opportunity. You see, this is a challenge for we who come to church and worship together every Sunday morning. It becomes so easy to not see this as an opportunity. It could be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Just because we're here every Sunday, there are those spiritual encounters, those nuggets that drop, those aha moments that are between you and the Holy Spirit. They're there, and you don't reach out. You don't take it. You're being quiet. You're being sophisticated, and you miss it. I'm not scaring you. I'm saying, let's relate to Bartimaeus. When he knew Jesus was passing by, he was willing to make a fool of himself so that he didn't miss this opportunity. Oh, hallelujah. Never give up. Never give up. No matter what people say. No matter what they do. No matter what it looks like. He ignored the negative voices. Do you know when you serve the Lord, there's lots of negative voices? Have you ever experienced that? People on your job, they call you stupid, you're in denial. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're one of those, they say. But when the negative voices came, he cried all the more. He cried, I would hope that criticism revs you up. Do you know what rev you up means? Are you sure? Anybody not know what that means? Come on, internationals, admit it if you don't know what being revved up means. It's like when you're putting your foot on the accelerator of your car and you're revving it. You're not going anywhere. It's still in park, but you're revving it up, telling him, we're getting ready to go somewhere. You understand? Uh-huh. Or is this more fun in a stick shift, but never mind. And then let's just look quickly at the rest of the story. These are the 4 points I'm wanting to give you. These are the things that I'm wanting to impress on you, that you see your circumstance, that you want change, that you look for solution in the right place, and you don't give up. You don't give up. What happened? Well, Jesus heard him. Jesus heard him. We could just stop right there. Jesus heard him. When you cry out, he hears you. He hears you. You can go through the scripture. How many times did people cry out and he heard them? That's his pattern. Always, always, always. And sometimes these people have been really rebellious. We have a word for it in our current contemporary Christianity. They would be backsliders. Mm-hmm. They once knew the Lord and they're not serving him now. We have a label for that, backsliders. Well, the Old Testament's full of backsliders. Those who knew and said, no, we're going to always do what's right. And then they start worshiping other gods. When they cried out to the Lord in their affliction, God always heard them. And Jesus said, I don't want to miss this point. Bring him to me. Bring him to me. Now, of course, I like to just smile when I think those same negative voices had to be the arms that brought him to Jesus. I think that's very funny. I think it's very, very, very cool. So sometimes your distractors and your negative sayers, God will turn around and use them to help you. But the greater point is, never be so self-reliant you refuse the help of others. That's the big picture. Jesus said, bring him to me. Bring him to me. How many times have you heard Jesus say about a person, bring him to me. Bring them to me. Maybe they came to you and they wanted your special prayer or your wonderful anointing or your glorious hands laid on them. They came to you because you're special. I'm not mocking. I'm just saying. And in the midst of that puffed up moment, does the voice of the Lord say, bring them to me? You're not the solution. I'm the solution. Bring them to me. Bring them to me. I'm in you. I will do it. But you bring them to me. You bring them to me. I feel so strongly about that. This is so important in our lives that we bring our problems to Jesus. And when other people come to us, we're not the Messiah. We only have the promises of God and what he's told us to do as ambassadors of the faith. But we always bring people to Jesus. So and then Jesus said, I think this is so like Jesus. He said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do? He didn't assume. By this time, he sees the blind man. Obviously, he's blind. But to give that blind beggar the dignity of being asked by the Son of God, the Son of David, what do you want me to do for you? Those words are just, they're almost overwhelming. If Jesus walked in here and walked right up to you today, looked in your eyes and said, what do you want me to do for you? What would we do? We'd probably stammer, stutter, break out in tears and fall on the floor. Isn't it true? And that would just be so overwhelming. Jesus asks me, what do I want him to do for me? That's God, my friends. That's God revealed. He cares about you. He cares about your wants. He cares about your desires. He cares about your needs. He cares. He cares. This is his voice. And then, of course, the blind man answered so honestly, I want to receive my sight. I want to receive my... He could have lashed out and said, what do you mean, idiot? Can't you tell? You should be able to discern if you're the Son of David. You should be able to already know. Look what he did. What do you want me to do that I might receive my sight? And of course, I don't see any prayer. I don't see that Jesus laid his hands on him. In this case, he didn't make mud, put it on his eyes. Nothing. He says, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Look how easy. Oh, my friends, we want to break the chains that bind. It is not an all-night prayer meeting and shouting at the devil. It's recognizing our solution is in Christ. And we believe in him. And your faith has made you well. You see, that puts a lot of responsibility on us, doesn't it? That's not to accuse someone who hasn't received their total manifestation or whatever that means of healing. That's not that at all. We just keep trusting the Lord. We keep looking to him. We keep our eyes on the solution, and our faith never wavers. Are you hearing me? Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. My friends, I'm sorry that in our culture, our Christian culture, there are too many people who pray the prayer of salvation. They may even attend church. They may even receive their healing, their deliverance, their new life. But they don't follow Jesus on the way. The scripture says he followed Jesus on the way. I want to testify to you today. Not that I'm a Christian. Not that I believe in the cross. Not that I believe in healing or redemption or not any. I believe in Jesus Christ. And because I believe in him, I follow him. I want to please him. I search after what pleases him. I wake up in the morning and, Lord, how can I please you today? My husband and I, we're on our way to church, out the door. Lord, how can we please you today and be a blessing to others? So you see, this is part of who we are. We're following Jesus, and we don't know it all. I'm sorry, Pastor, do you know it all? No, I don't know it all. Deacon Isaac, you're pretty smart. Do you know it all? No. Do you understand? We are devout followers of Jesus Christ. Devout, that means we study his. We're disciples. A disciple is a learner. How do we learn? Number one, through his word. Activated by his Holy Spirit. I can tell you stories of illiterate villagers who come to know Jesus, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden they can read the scripture. I'm talking King James. I was thinking this morning about the gratitude that I have that I was raised either listening to or reading the scripture. That's what our family did every morning. And we all took turns. We all had our commentary. We were engaging in the scripture. And it was all King James. And that was such a kind of a funny thought to me this morning. Because I'm living in a day now where people think they can't understand the King James. I was 3 years old and I understood the King James. I'm not saying I prefer the King James. I'm just saying, let's not come to the Word of God as though it's difficult and we can't possibly make sense of it. We have a helper. We have a teacher. We have the Holy Spirit. He's the one who breaks the chains that bind us. Are you hearing me this morning? Does this help you? Would you stand to your feet? I want to pray for you. And I'm going to ask you, we have 5 minutes before noon. I'm sorry, I've just gone a little longer than I wanted to, but I want to pray for you. Because there are some of you this morning that as I've been ministering, you're aware of those areas that you're like Bartimaeus. The world's passing you by, and you're just sucking in the dust of their progress, and you recognize where you are, and you want the Lord to step in right now and begin that process by his Spirit of moving you on. There are others of you that your heart, your whole imagination has been so numb. You don't think change is even possible. You've stopped asking for change. You've stopped dreaming of change. But today, the Holy Spirit in you is saying, wow, could it be? Could it be? Even for me, even at my age, even with my circumstances, could it be? And that desire is being quickened in you. I want to pray for you. So we seize these moments when we hear something. We hear something through the proclamation of the Word of God. I don't question that any of you would look anywhere else but to Jesus. But there are some of you who have been looking elsewhere. And you didn't know you were looking elsewhere for your solution. You thought it was just a little help, a little hit, but it was your solution. You were looking elsewhere, and today you are convicted, and you want to say, I'm done with that. I'm going to look to Jesus. Through whatever avenue he wants to bring the solution, he is the problem solver. I want to pray for you. I want to seal this in you this morning. And of course, don't quit. There are some of you today, you've come up against a wall. And you don't know what to do next. You don't feel like a failure. You don't feel like you're giving up. But you're kind of ready to just stop pursuing that. Today is your day to knock that off the wall and say, no, that's not an option for me. I'm not going to quit. I want you